As we were greeting everyone, and just even as I glanced quickly across the room here, I noticed that, just couldn't help but notice, everybody's kind of got different clothes on, just a wide variety of, we just see about everything this morning, from slacks to jeans, and some people wore neckties, suspenders, different patterns, just a wide variety of clothes that we all wear. And this morning, I'd like to point out something that the Lord wants all of us to wear. There is something that the Lord wants every single one of us here to wear. And it came from this morning's reading, if you'd like to turn there. 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, is where our lesson's going to come from this morning. 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, and I'd like to look at the 5th verse. And there we find something that the Lord wants every single one of us to wear. Let me just read that verse. 1 Peter, 5th chapter, the 5th verse. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. So this is something the Lord wants every single one of us to wear. Humility. Of course, it's not talking about our physical clothing. It's talking about our character. But that's what the Lord wants every single one of us. It says all of you. It says be clothed with humility. That's what he wants us to wear. And that's what I'd like to just spend a few minutes thinking about this morning, is being clothed with humility. And so just three things I'd like for us to think about. One, what does that look like, to be clothed with humility? And number two, this idea of being clothed with humility, what are the benefits of it? That's the second thing I'd like to look at. And then finally, I'd like to just look at one scriptural tip on how to do that, how to be clothed with humility. So first, let's just think about this idea. What does it look like, or what does it mean when it says to be clothed with humility? You know, I think we all know what it means to be clothed with a shirt or socks or things like that, but what does it mean to be clothed with humility? And rather than reading you a Bible or a dictionary definition, I just like for maybe to paint some pictures in your head on this idea of what does it mean to be clothed with humility. And so I've got three kind of visual things that, if you can use your imagination and think about, that will help us to think about what does it mean to be clothed with humility. And here's the first one. You don't have to use your imagination much for this one. I've actually brought a visual aid, okay? Hopefully we all step over here. Okay, this is an apron. It doesn't seem like you see them as much anymore, but I think we all know what this is. This is an apron. And you might be thinking, well, what does that have to do with being clothed with humility? Well, let's look again back at our passage here in 1 Peter 5. I think a little bit's lost here in the English when we read this. Maybe a little bit of what the original meaning here is lost on us. This word clothed here, when we look at that in the Greek, it's actually only used, the Greek word here is only used one time in the New Testament. So the word clothed is used a lot as we read it in our English translations. But the Greek word here for clothed is only used one time. And this is it right here. And here's what this Greek word means. To engirdle oneself for labor, figuratively, the apron, as being a badge of servitude. So it's my understanding that at that point in time, it was a common thing. It was almost part of your uniform, you'd call. If you were a servant, you'd wear an apron. And that's how it was almost how they identified if you were a servant in a household, that you wore an apron. It was just something that, as best I can understand, that's what servants would wear. Both as a functional device, but also almost as a badge to identify, okay, this is a servant in a household. And so let's think, if that's the Greek word that's being used here, let's look again back at this passage here, 1 Peter 5 and 5. It says, yes, all of you be clothed with humility. So the idea here is that this idea of an apron, just like a servant wears an apron, that's what this passage is saying. You be just like a servant would wear an apron. This is how we ought to wear humility. And so when the scripture says this, it's saying that we should put on humility just like a servant would put on an apron. So that means one thing, be willing to identify yourself as someone who's humble. Be willing to identify yourself perhaps even as a servant. That's the idea of being clothed with humility, that you're okay with that idea. You're okay with people saying, hey, here is a servant. Also, the idea is, I think, is portrayed here that just like an apron has a functional purpose, you know, the servants wore it for a functional purpose, our humility today has a purpose, doesn't it? So when we read that, okay, just like a servant puts on an apron, we ought to put on humility because there's a purpose for it. There's a functional purpose for humility in our lives. So when you read that passage there in 1 Peter 5 and 5, think about it. Think about an apron. Okay, that's one visual. When we think about being clothed in humility, think about an apron. Let me give you a second visual to think about. I'm going to turn to another passage in Philippians, the second chapter. And as we read this, I just want you, as best as you can, try to picture. Just try to paint a picture in your head of the scene that's being described here in Philippians, the second chapter. I'm going to start in verse 5. And this is a passage I think a lot of us are familiar with. But as you read it again, just try to paint a picture in your head of what's being portrayed here. Philippians, the second chapter, verse 5. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. So let me stop there. Just picture Jesus. It says he was with God. He was in the form of God. And we don't know how this plan or discussion played out, but we know at some point in time a plan was made that Jesus was going to come to earth. Okay, the Son of God was going to come to earth. And we read here that Jesus went willingly. Okay, at no point did he say, well, he wasn't entitled about it and said, well, I'm the Son of God. Why would somebody like me have to go to earth? It says, no, he was in the form of God, and he didn't, some translations say, I didn't count it robbery to be deprived of that type of thing. The idea is that he went willingly. Continuing in verse 7, again, just try to picture. Jesus was in heaven. Continuing here in verse 7, it says, but he made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. So he left heaven and made himself, what? Nothing. And then he came in the form of a servant. So this, as we picture humility, we're starting to see a pattern here, aren't we? So this idea of a servant seems to be a pattern in the scriptures. He made himself nothing, became a servant. And then it said, being born in the likeness of men. Just think about Jesus' birth. And I think that helps paint a picture of being clothed in humility. Think about Jesus' birth. If we go back to Luke, the second chapter, talks about his birth. It seems like he was born with the animals, okay? Not a real high-profile birth. We don't know how this plan came out, but he didn't say, well, yeah, I'd like to come, but, let's find a nice hospital for me to born in. Only the best for me, you know. Or how about a nice family? I'd really like a wealthy family to be best. That's not the idea that we're given here, is it? He was born to a very modest family. Just a very humble birth here. But Luke 2 says he was born in a manger, okay, or a food trough. That's where, I didn't know this until just recently. We always read Jesus was born in a manger. Well, it's talking about it's where animals were fed. Okay, that's where they put their food and they ate out of it. So Jesus didn't have a real nice crib that they put him in, right? He was born in they laid him in where they put animals' food. And so this, again, the idea of being clothed in humility, this is how Jesus came to earth, being born as a man, in a very humble birth at that. Continuing here in verse 8, just think about this, paint this picture in your head. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. We're told here specifically, he humbled himself. And how did he humble himself? Well, through obedience. That's the picture that's painted of humility. That's just, again, just thinking about what's it mean to be humble? Well, obedience is part of that. He didn't try to say, well, you know, after all, I am the Son of God, so probably not all these rules that we've set up, they probably don't all apply to me. He didn't say that. He was obedient all the way. In fact, it says to the point of death. That's how obedient he was. He took it all the way. And not only death, but what? Death on a cross. Again, this was not a glamorous way to die. It seems to be one of the worst ways to die. And so as we think about these things, this is the picture we have. If we're trying to think about what's it mean to be clothed in humility, here's a great picture of being clothed in humility. Jesus, who was the Son of God, he was in heaven, he came to earth, he was born on this earth, a very humble, a very modest birth, like was mentioned in class this morning, Jesus didn't have a place to lay his head, we're told. He was, get the idea that, you know, he didn't have much money. This is a very modest living here. This is the idea of being clothed in humility. Jesus paints that picture for us. So that's the second picture we have of humility. First, we've got the apron. We've got this picture of Jesus here in Philippians, the second chapter. Let me paint just a third picture of humility. And this is not a biblical account, but I think it makes the point. It's a short story told by Oz Hillman. And let me just read it to you. There was a rider on horseback who many years ago came across a squad of soldiers in the Continental Army who were trying to move a heavy piece of timber. A corporal stood by, giving lordly orders to heave, but the piece of timber was too heavy for the squad. "Why don't you help them?" asked the quiet man on the horse, addressing the important corporal. "Me? Why, I'm a corporal, sir." Dismounting, the stranger carefully took his place with the soldiers. "Now, all together, boys, heave," the stranger said. And the big piece of timber slid into place. The stranger mounted his horse and addressed the corporal. "The next time you have a piece of timber for your men to handle, corporal, send for your commander-in-chief." The horseman was George Washington, the commander-in-chief of the Continental Army. So when you think of humility, these are three pictures you can put in your head. One, this idea of a servant leader that we have here. The idea of an apron and being girded with it, being a servant. And then I think most importantly, the picture of Jesus, right, who came in the form of man, lived a very humble life here. This is the picture that the Bible paints of what does it mean to be clothed in humility. So that's the first point, being clothed in humility. Let's turn back to 1 Peter 5 and 5. Here's the second point that I'd like to point out. And we find it here in the fifth verse. Second point is this: God rewards humility. We read that in the fifth verse. It says, "God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble." Just think about that. God gives grace to the humble. Good things, in other words, when we read grace, we're talking about good things. God, we might say, God gives good things to the humble. On the other hand, the proud, you know, if you've ever wondered, is God for everybody? Is he on everybody's side? No, he's not. We read that here. God resists the proud. So this kind of helps you figure out, well, where would I like to be here? I'd like for God to be on my side. It says God resists the proud, but he gives grace, good things. He gives good things to the humble. If we continue in verse 6, we get, a better understanding of these good things. It says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. So the indication here to me, as I try to understand verses 5 and 6, it seems like verse 6 talking about probably eternity is the true reward for humility. I think that's probably the primary thing. But as we think about it and just make observations in the world around us, God is a good God, And he is willing to give us good things along the way. I think we've all seen that, haven't we? Where, if specifically this idea of humility, God gives good things to the humble here on this earth. This is not, in my mind, just an eternal blessing. You know, one of the things that, of the rewards of humility, the good things God gives the humble on this earth, is that if you're humble, God will bless you with growth. You'll get better. On the other hand, if you're proud, proud people just don't get any better. You don't. You know, when you're proud, you think, oh, I've got all the answers. I'm better than these people. And so you think, well, there's nothing. I can't get any better when you're proud. And so you just continue to make the same mistakes. You continue to be the same ignorant person. You're really punished for being proud on this earth. But if you're humble, you grow from it, don't you? This is probably 5 or 6 months ago, somebody at my work came to me and they said, hey, I've been reading this book. It's a really good book called Humilitas. And has anybody read this or heard of this book, by the way? Has anybody? Yeah, I'd never heard of it either. But he was telling me about this book. He said, it's called Humilitas. And I haven't read it, but I kind of did some research after he told me about it just to see, well, what's this book about? Here's just off the cover of this book. It says, speaker and historian John Dixon shows how the virtue of humility was an important character trait for the greats of history and figures prominently in the findings of psychology and sociology. Developing humility can transform your personal relationships and professional dealings. Here's a little more from the back cover of this book. Some of the world's most inspiring and influential players have been people of immense humility. The more we learn about humility, the more we understand how essential it is to a satisfying career and personal life. By embracing this virtue, we will transform the unique contributions we each make to the world. So anyways, he came to me and said, hey, this is a really good book. He said, it's really helped me to become a better leader for my team. I think a lot of our company ought to read this book. He said, we could really get better as a company and as our teams if we would all just be a little more humble. He said, it does sound like an interesting book. God wrote a book about humility long before this one, so this is, you know, he's probably just copying some of the things that God's already wrote about. But the idea here is that, and I've noticed a change in this employee. He's able to get buy-in from other people better. He learns from his mistakes a lot quicker. He's just really transformed his leadership style, and he accredits a lot of it to this book. And the book's just about being a humble person, okay, something that probably you guys have known about for years and years, right? If you've been reading the Bible, it's not a new thing. But here's the point. He gives grace to the humble. Okay? He gives you good things along the way. He's such a good God. He doesn't just say, I want you to be humble, and that's it. He says, let's be humble. And if you are, there's good things that are going to happen from it. You'll continue to grow. You'll just be a more productive person. That's how good he is to us. That he's, when he asks us to do something, he gives us good things along the way if we do them. And so that's, I think, a really important point from this passage. God gives grace to the humble. He'll give you good things if you just do it his way. But if it's kind of like Paul said, it's hard. It's hard to kick against the goats. You know, it's hard when we don't do it God's way. But when we do, he gives us good things. So God gives grace to the humble. That's the point we can take here from the fifth verse of 1 Peter 5. Okay, last thing I'd like to talk about. Just give us all one tip from the Bible on how to be clothed with humility. And there's probably a lot that we could get from the Bible, but I'll just give you one. One tip from the Bible on how to clothe yourself in humility. It comes from 1 Corinthians, the 4th chapter. 1 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, one tip on how to be clothed in humility. And I'm just going to read the seventh verse. So there is some context to this verse, but I think verse 7 is a While there is some context here, I think verse 7 is a general principle that can be applied, and that's the way I'm going to take it here. Verse 7, it says, "For who makes you differ from another? And what do you have that you did not receive? Now, if you did indeed receive it, why do you boast as if you had not received it?" The overall point here is, let's give God the glory for good things in our life. So about a month ago, I was talking to a gentleman that attends church with us at Lone Jack, and he owns a small business, started it from the scratch on his own. One day he left his job that he'd been working, and he decided to start his own business. And it's been a very successful business. Probably a decade ago he started it. And it's hard to get him to say that, but it is. From every observation I made, he's been very successful in it. And I was talking to him about a month ago, and he was talking about plans that he had for his family. And he just mentioned in passing, I think the statement was, you know, "God's blessed our business." That was the statement he made. And that wasn't the point he was trying to make. He was trying to talk about some plans he had for his family. But he said, you know, "God's really blessed our business." And that, it really struck me. Because he had an opportunity there to say, you know what? I built a really good business. You know, he could have said, "I worked really hard and I'm a really smart guy." He could have said all those things. And they, you know, that's not necessarily untrue. He has worked hard. He is a smart guy. Right? But that's not what he said. He said, "God has really blessed our business." And I think that goes along with the point of what we read here in 1 Corinthians 4 and 7. There's three questions asked here that we probably look at them as rhetorical questions, but maybe it is good for us just to think about the answers to these. Okay, let's just think about to yourself the answer to these questions. First question, for who makes you differ from another? So the answer is God, right? So we can all... You don't have to be just a real detective to look across here. We're all different, okay? And why are we different? Well, God's made us different. Okay, that's the answer. Who's made us different from one another? God has. Second question. And what do you have that you didn't receive? And the answer is nothing. Okay, what we have has been given to us by God through His goodness. And then third question. Now, if you did indeed receive it, which we affirm we did in the previous question, if you did indeed receive it, then why do you boast as if you didn't receive it? You know, there's just all kinds of things that make us different. And, well, for example, some of you here have got great heads of hair, right? And some of us don't. But what are we going to do about it? You know, it's just what God gave us. So it'd be really silly for me to say, "Oh, look how great my hair is," for multiple reasons. One, I don't have great hair, but if I did, right, I said, "Hey, look how great my hair is." Well, so what? I didn't do anything to get that, right? And that's what this passage is saying. Even in things where we did, some things do. You know, this passage wasn't meant to discourage hard work or human aspiration, right? But even when we do accomplish things that we feel good about, whether you start your own business or you've been successful in your career or you've built something great or maybe you're a great artist or, you know, there's all kinds of things we can accomplish. But, and those things don't come without work. But ultimately, let's think about when we have these success, who gave us the abilities and the disposition and the resources and the opportunities and the time and the health, and the strength, and the guidance, and the time, and you know, all these things came from God. So even though we feel like, "Oh, we really contributed to success," you know, God gave you all these abilities and all these things for that success to happen. And so the point of this passage is don't brag like, "Hey, I really did something here." The point is, give God the glory, okay? He's given us all these things. He's the one who's caused us to be different and have different types of success. So don't. We shouldn't think, "Well, I'm better," or "This person's better." We ought to give God the glory. That's the point we have in this passage. You can read a dozen other places. God's the one that deserves the credit for the good things in our lives. So that's if we're looking for one tip on, okay, how do we clothe ourselves in humility, this is one tip on that. Think about, let's give God the glory for the good things that happen in our life. So just to review, God wants us all to be clothed in humility. And so what does that look like? Well, it looks like an apron. It looks like Jesus coming down from heaven to live humbly. It looks like being a servant leader. That's what it looks like to be clothed in humility. Also, let's remember, God gives grace to the humble. He gives good things to the humble. And then finally, one tip on just on being what God would want us to be is let's give him the glory for the good things that happen in our lives. As we close this morning, we'll offer the gospel invitation. And that starts with humility. Okay? If you're gonna accept the gospel, you've got to do it humbly. You've got to realize that, you know what? I'm not who I ought to be. I don't have the answers for it, but God does. That's a humble thing to say. To say that, yep, I'm a sinner. I need help. To receive the gospel call, humility has a role in this. So if you've come to that humble conclusion today that I'm a sinner. I need God's help. I'm willing to repent. I'm willing to change my life. I'm willing to be baptized for the remission of sins. If you've come to that realization this morning, we invite you to come forward as we stand and sing the final song that Ed's picked out.